older was something I got the fun of doing and being a part of, was teaching my kids to drive. There's groans out there. I don't. But teaching my kids to drive was an interesting prospect. We got to go through it with three of them, and we did survive, needless to say. But we started off in a parking lot, and using all the resources I had, I would go and find cones from the youth group and things like that, and create a serpentine course and all these different things. But we started off with a statement. All three kids, I started off with a statement. I put them behind the driver's, behind the steering wheel, and I would start out with this. This is not Mario Kart. Anything you hit, be it person or building, creates damage. And I thought that was probably the best statement I could give them, because, you know, we tend to live in a false reality at times, that we can have behavior that doesn't result in damage. And so, you know, as I thought of that, and we would get back on the, eventually teaching them control of the vehicle was key. Because after that, after you've learned control and you've learned some key lessons, it's all about staying attentive to what's on the road and what's before them. And in life, just like driving, part of the task before us is knowing where we want to go. And then being able to get there. And as Cole read, Jesus states in Matthew chapter 7, in this really quick little passage, that there are two roads that we are given options with. One road tends to be the one many take because it's easy. There's not a whole lot of control that's needed, and we think it's fun, but it always leads to destruction. The other is a narrow road that leads to life. Can you turn the monitor off?
Yes.
Thank you, Chris. But the narrow road that leads to life is also one that requires more control. It requires effort. It requires intentionality. But the next part of that is getting there safely. And there are a lot of dangers on the road that we need to be attentive to. So we have to stay alert and we stay on task. And one of the ways we get some help is, as we drive, is that there are different things that are put in place for us. And as I was thinking about it, one of the keys for us is the rumble strip. The purpose of a rumble strip is to tell us that danger is coming, that we're starting to veer off in the wrong direction. And for those who don't know what a rumble strip is, it's a series of slits or bumps in the road that are intended to warn that driver that they're not on the road, that they're starting to get off. And so they're both audible, that you can hear them. And in fact, there's a part of Route 66 that I found as I was talking with my dad. He goes, you know about Route 66? I said, no. And so I looked it up. And there's a part in Arizona on Route 66 that if you drive 45 miles an hour and you purposely stay on the rumble strip, it says, it starts to sing to you, God bless America. I don't know if it was a joke to start or just something, you know, but hey, you know, let's start driving on the rumble strip, you know, but it's also audible, because then maybe it was a mechanic that desired that, because it's not just audible, but it's tactile, and that you feel it, a rumble strip. I mean, you can't drive without going, you know, unless you're in an old jalopy and you're used to going. But the rumble strips aren't subtle. They're intentional, and they were never intended to be subtle. Rumble strips are to get your attention. Their sole purpose is an advanced warning that you're in danger if you continue to veer the direction that you're going. And we need them in our lives, because prevention is always preferable to cure. It's wonderful that we have things in our life like mechanics and doctors and nurses that have the ability to, when things do go wrong, to help get them on the right track. But prevention, not getting to that point, is far better. And while rumble strips tell you of the danger that's ahead, one of the things that we need to learn, though, is that they don't change the direction that you're going, but they only tell you or alert you that you need to change. And so we need rumble strips in our lives to give us that. Why? Because drifting happens. Whether on the road or in life, drifting happens. I was listening to, we have the men's Bible study at 6 a.m. I'm still trying to figure out why it's so early, but, you know, it's 6 a.m. And I've been going, and Wayne was talking about they encountered an accident this past week on 84. And he goes, and the weird part is it's in a place that you shouldn't have accidents. It's straight. It's not in the curve. But I started thinking about it. It's often in the curves when we start paying attention. It's in the straightaways that we start drifting because we're not paying attention. It's not anxious. It's not adrenaline. We take our hands off the wheel. We get bored. We get distracted. We start get tired, you know, or even worse, we fall asleep. And so we start to drift. And we need a wake-up call in our lives because we never drift in the right direction. But not only that, driving takes work. Drifting happens on its own. As I shared, teaching my kids how to take control of a vehicle was key. Progress is expensive. It takes effort. It requires that you pay attention. Amen. Let me say this as plainly as I can. Drifting is subtle. It's automatic. If you aren't paying attention, you will drift. To truly drive takes constant fine-tuning as you assess the situations and that are around you, because the world is dangerous. There are millions of temptations in a lot of ways to take you off course. You also can't correct what you can't detect. Think about that. As I said, drifting is a subtle thing. We all need these rumble strips. Have you ever thought about what you've become numb to? When you aren't paying attention, the thing about a rumble strip is that you can either learn to tune them out or make a tune out of them, I guess, or ignore them. Or you can learn to tune into them. And that when you hear them, you listen to them and what they're trying to tell you, and that you correct. And so over the course of this month, we're going to kind of talk about some of these rumble strips that God places in our lives. And we're going to use Ephesians chapter 5, starting with 14 through 21, to guide us in our discussion. Now, Ephesians is an interesting book. It's one of what they call the prison letters, and it's written by Paul to a group of believers in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a Greek city that became a Roman colony. It was a large Roman colony. It was highlighted. It had to be large enough that it needed such things as the Temple of Artemis, which was a large temple. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It also was home to the Library of Celsus, which was the third largest library of the ancient world. And on top of that, it had a theater that could seat 25,000 spectators. I mean, we're talking the size of the Staples Arena in Los Angeles. So needless to say, it was quite an active city, and it had a lot of things that could take a person off course if they weren't paying attention. And Paul is writing to the church, people that have made a choice that they have been going this way, and now because of what Christ has done in them and for them, that they are going to respond and go the other way, that they are going to change course and head to the direction that God is calling them. And so he constantly, through the first half of this letter, talks about not all the rules and regulations and things that are for the church, but more importantly, what it means to be in Christ. And that it's a constant blessing to be found in Christ. And so for that first half, and he gives this immense theology lesson. But the second half is a letter in practice of if we are to be found in Christ, and what all of that blessing means, then the reality is, because we are in Christ, we can't be a redeeming factor in God's plan and point to God, the one true God, in our lives if we live the same way that the world around us is living. And so this passage that we will focus on kind of picks up at the end of a discussion where Paul has been describing the difference between light and darkness. The difference between the world and all that they have and those found in Christ. And so he recites at the very end of, we're kind of picking up at the end of one passage. He says, "Wake up, O sleeper." Have you ever been drowsy on a road? Just can't keep your eyes open, and yet you have a destination to get to. It's not a safe combination. And Paul is talking to the church. He says, it's time for you to wake up. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But then he continues, be careful, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, remember, the purpose of a rumble strip is to alert to the danger ahead. And so God places these rumble strips in our lives that help us stay on the right road, on the narrow road, on the correct path to where we want to get to, which is eternity with Him. And so on the road, there are two kinds of rumble strips. There are available. There's the internal one that helps us to, before we get in crossing the double lane, the double line, and into heading onto onward traffic. And then you have the external ones that help keep us off the shoulder of the road, or even off the road entirely. The best protection is early detection. And so this morning, I'd like to look at the internal rumble strip. Many would call this our conscience. God has given us this conscience to protect us, and it's always been kind of interesting, and you don't see it as much anymore. Nobody wants to talk about the conscience or our inward guide much anymore. But back in, I love watching Looney Tunes. Boomerang has become my favorite channel in the evenings because good Looney Tunes are on, not the digital ones, but the old school ones. And it used to be portrayed whenever somebody was trying to make a decision between what was wrong and what was right, was you would have a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other. In Pinocchio, they tell tell little Pinocchio after he's become a real boy that he's to let his conscience be his guide. Now, I don't know why they chose a little cricket, but they told him, you need to listen to Jiminy Cricket because he's going to help you learn what you should do. Listen to him. But I think it's a little bit more than that. Needless to say, it's not cartoon angels and devils. It's not a cartoon cricket. In fact, the more I get and think about it, I believe and understand the conscience is more of the voice of God involved in our lives than we give it credit to be. It's God being involved in our lives and in others' lives as we move around. It's His Holy Spirit trying to bring wholeness and peace and restoration in our lives as He tries to guide us. Thomas Aquinas said the conscience is the God-given inner voice that either accuses or excuses us in terms of what we do. John Wesley refers to it as part of prevenient grace, with the Holy Spirit at work in the person. And it's the fact that God's grace is wooing us towards God's holiness Himself. And so when we turn to Scripture, we find that the consciences are a significant aspect of what God's revelation is in us and to us. And because the thing about it is, it's built into all of us. Everyone has a conscience. Every human being that God has created, which is all human beings, have a conscience. It's not limited to any specific group of people, or any continent, or any race. It's there for all of us. It's global. We all feel it in different ways and at different times, but it shows up in a couple of key understandings for us. First of all, it's this unmistakable sensation, and I would say warning, of don't do that. It's as simple as that. Don't do that. That's going to hurt, whether now or later. God desires the best for us, and He gives us a conscience and a sense of the Holy Spirit walking in our life with us that tells us, don't do that. But also, our conscience is something that can use the external in our lives, such as the beauty and wonder of creation, to reveal and point us to God. Romans 1:20 talks about that this revelation that is mediated through creation, that it's clear enough that every single person knows God exists and therefore is without excuse. Watch a sunset. Look to the mountains. God, throughout His Scripture, uses creation, His creation, to point us to Him constantly. And at the same time, Romans 2:15 tells us that our conscience is universally felt case for knowing God's existence, and that there's this innate sense of direction that comes. In fact, it states that even Gentiles, yeah, even when we don't get the Hebrew music right, even us Gentiles who don't have the law yet know how to adhere to it because it's part of who we are. It says that it is written on their hearts, their consciences is also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even demanding them a certain path. Amen. And so God reveals His ways in the minds and hearts of everyone by building it in to who we are. And that it will help each of us, if we choose to listen and obey, to get farther down the journey that God is calling us to. But not only is it built into all of us, we find in Second Kings, we learn, especially, they use this word, that it's a quiet voice. It's a gentle whisper. Amen. And this is one of the places we often miss it. There's so much noise in our lives that we tend to drown out God's voice in an attempt to stay in control. You see it in the cartoons. They flick off one so that they can listen to the other. That sounds more fun. So I'm going to push you to the side. And they hit, you know, so we're driving along in our life and they hit the rumble strip and God is trying to say, danger ahead, danger ahead. But it's this gentle whisper, and instead of listening to it, we turn up the noise to try to distract us. We try and drown out the warning sounds, and we use all these different things: general busyness, work, sports, drugs, sex, relationships, anything and everything that's around us, trying to drown out the sound of God saying, you're headed in the wrong direction. I'm trying to help you here. We tend to be like toddlers who love to live in their own world. I watched my sister-in-law. She has a 4-year-old little boy, and he gets really intent on whatever he's doing. And I watched him, and I thought, you know what? God's kind of like this, because she needed his attention. And instead of trying to shout it out, because he was ready to drown it out, she got his little face and pointed it to him, to her, and said, are you listening? This is your instructions. Now repeat them to me, what I just said. And I think sometimes we want to be like that little toddler, where we want God to grab our face and look us in the eyes and then speak. But that's not the way it works. Sometimes, maybe, but not usually. Instead, we have to learn to pay attention and learn what God's voice sounds like as we move about in the clutter of a world. You know, as you get older and your kids get older, you're in the park, there's lots of noise going on. What's the one voice you know you better listen to? You hear mama's voice, you know it's your mama. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if it gets that, then you get the look. It's all over after you get the look. But I digress. We have to learn to pay attention as we move about in the clutter of this world. There's a lot of different things trying to get our attention. And it's only as we slow down, as we quiet down, will we truly learn to recognize it and hear it better, so that we can better be attuned to it. Because our conscience is something that's trying to hold you back from danger. Yeah. Now, many in our world will say this. They say, remove the last two words. Many of our world will say, well, it's just something trying to hold you back. You know, God doesn't really, he's just a cosmic killjoy. They want to declare that God is just, you know, trying to keep us. And we even see this in Genesis with Eve's encounter with the serpent in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent states that God wants to deprive us of something better. When in reality, God is trying to protect us from doing what will result in giving us harm. Amen. It's not that God is this eternal killjoy, it's that he wants the best for us. And wants us to steer us away from the danger that will result if we continue on our own path. I mean, look at verse 15. It says, we are to be wise, not unwise. We need to learn to listen well, to be able to live well. Wisdom is applying truth. It's not just knowing truth, it's the application part. And God has real joy in mind for us and wants to direct us away from the danger that we're headed toward. But we have a part in that we have a choice to listen or to not listen. Amen. And we can only be in tune and where we're supposed to be going as much as we have obedience. Romans 2, 8 and 9 tells us that those that want to follow their own self-seeking way will find wrath and anger and trouble and distress in their life. danger, danger, danger that God is trying to keep us from. Our conscience is trying to keep us safe so that we can experience the best. And since we've all been gifted with this God-given blessing, and it's there to keep us safe, I want to share just a few quick things of why we should listen if you haven't gotten it already. First of all, the more you ignore it, the harder it is to hear it. Think about that truth. The more that you ignore it, the harder it is to hear it. It's already a whisper. And if we aren't careful, we'll drown out God's voice in our lives as we listen to the other things. 1 Timothy 4 tells us that some will abandon the faith and begin to listen to deceiving spirits and things taught by demons instead of what's God is trying to guide us in truth. You see, the problem with ignoring our internal rumble strip is that one thing leads to another. And as one pastor put it, Satan doesn't play checkers, he plays chess. And he is a master level chess player. He's not thinking just this step, he's thinking six steps down below. If I can get them to do this, then I force their hand to do this, and this, and this. The issue is that we begin to think to ourselves, well, just this one time. It won't be a big deal. It's just this one time. And we can declare to ourselves that, well, that wasn't so bad. But the thing is, then it's on to another thing and another thing. And the next thing we know, we're hooked and we didn't know how we got there. And it all started by ignoring God's voice in the very beginning. The other side of that issue is that the more we respond to it, the more we anticipate it. The easier it is to listen to it and hear it. What happens is that God begins to rumble us through an absence of peace, and when we're steering off into dangerous places and we start to recognize that peace isn't there that we've been experiencing when we've been obedient. And as we realize this peace isn't there, it becomes this distinct rumble that prompts us to respond. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 states this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, this word rule is an interesting one. We think of it, you know, as this one thing here, you know, that it's dictating and all these different things. But I want you to know that this rule, this word, comes in its original form in Greek, is actually a word that they would use to be an umpire or a referee in a sports competition. It was a moderator or judge. So Paul is using this word to tell us that the peace of God, when active in our life, can be something that will work like an umpire in our hearts and in our minds and in our emotions and help give us wisdom of what's right and wrong. And when detrimental things try to attempt to exert their control on us and through us and try to throw us into this frenzy, that we can stop it from happening by choosing to listen to what God is prompting us to do. Which leads to peace in our life, which will rise up from deep inside. And when this divine umpire called peace steps into the game and we listen, it suddenly begins to call the shots instead of the fretfulness, anxiety, and worry that often want to be in control. If you ever watch a basketball game or a baseball game where there's no referees, even ones like Wayne that never call anything. Sorry, Wayne. But when we have no referees and chaos takes over, because chaos will take over, but when the referee is there, there's a mindfulness. There are rules, that there are actions that are not acceptable. So as we begin to experience the peace that comes from following God's voice, we begin to trust that God sees what we do not see down the road. And then we begin to respond better because we've become better attuned to recognizing the patterns that are in life. And that's the wisdom that Ephesians 5 is trying to tell us, to talk about wise people versus being unwise, because wise people recognize the patterns that they can respond to. Proverbs chapter 22 has this illustration that there's this adulterous woman, a prostitute, is calling out, trying to get this young man's attention. And she's calling to him, you know, it's going to be good, it's going to be that, and it's going to be pleasing, and you're going to love this. And in Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple keep going and will suffer for it. There are patterns in our life that we begin to learn as we listen to God's Holy Spirit and we dive ourselves into God's Word to know what's going to get us where we want to go. That if we know that this is a temptation at this point in my life, that when I get tired or I get under stress or I get hungry, that I have these tendencies that try to avert my attention. That this is what happens when I do this. Then if we want to be wise, we also learn how to respond by not putting ourselves in places where those temptations become a very real reality. Amen. Because the more we respond to the rumble of God's voice, the less we experience the rumble because we've learned to anticipate things before we get them, before we start drifting. Remember, the point of the rumble is to keep us from danger. We're not intended to drive on the rumble strip. We have an innate desire for some reason to always toe the line as far as where's the line at? And I'm going to push it. But God is saying if you drive in the middle, you're less likely to blow a tire. God wants to protect us. Better drivers stay between the rumble strips on the road and on the way that they want to go. And God wants to protect us so that He can take us places. So the more we listen, the easier it becomes to hear God's voice, His promptings, and then it's easier to lead us, and therefore the more places that we can go. The adventure gets bigger, not smaller, the more that we listen to God. Amen. And while God wants to take us places, it's usually our own stubbornness that prevents it. So the payoff to listening to God is that we get to experience what God's will is in our lives. And that is, we get to experience this immense blessing of peace. And so it's important for us to acknowledge that a lack of pliability on my part limits the opportunity that God can offer. The more I'm not willing to listen and obey and be a part of what God is trying to tell me, the more stubborn I am, the less that opportunity of God's blessing is going to happen. Yeah. And so as we close, let me say this, just a couple of application questions for us. Because none of us want to be the poster child for a life story of what could have been. A story of wasted potential. And so for each of us, as God's voice comes in this quiet whisper, maybe we need to get quiet this week. In the midst of all the busyness that is going on, maybe that we need to find places to pull over, to rest, and to check in. And ask a very important question. What is God trying to say to me today? What is God trying to tell me? The other exercise for us during that quiet time may be to ask ourselves, what was the last thing that God tried to tell me to do and I ignored? And because of ignoring it, what was the result? On the other side of that is ask yourself, what was the last time that I did listen and I obeyed? Where is God leading you as we continue to listen to God's voice? Next week, we'll get into the external rumble strips that God places in our lives. And so I hope you'll join us next Sunday. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your peace. I especially thank you for that you are a God that is actively participating in this world. When all chaos and disaster and violence and all the negativity of people that are disobeying you, Lord, come into play, we ask that you would guide us to be members of peace, that direct our ways toward you and point others toward you. Lord, help us to listen. And not just to listen, but to be obedient to your call in our lives. For we realize there's a lot of distraction in this world. There's a lot of false voices trying to get our attention. Give us wisdom to hear your voice and to obey. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week.